Hello and welcome to episode 12 of The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, thank God those socks are over, birthday present knitting, shrug construction, summer camisoles, and the fun and game of being a UK knitter using sport weight yarn. Hello. Well, it's been a very curious week in the UK. There's an awful lot of self-examination and recriminations and general disintegration going on. It's not a very happy or a very calm place to be at the moment. So I think now more than ever, we're looking for relaxation and distraction and reassurance. And I'm delighted to say that knitting offers me all of those. So for now, I'm going to turn my back on the political situation, which really has exercised me in the last few days, and do something more enjoyable instead. I was talking last week about these socks. I was fessing up, really, that having been looking forward for so long to knitting them, I was actually finding myself really getting quite bored, and I had identified that it's because there was just so little variation in the project and also in the yarn. And I've seen since, on particularly on my Instagram feed, so many fantastic striped sock yarns, and I've got another. Well, I ended up buying 2 50-gram skeins of this Regia 4-ply in a beautiful dark green, and that obviously is what I'm going to have to use for the next project. But I need to do something to, well, the next project, the next sock project, which is now having to take its place in the queue. So I'm going to have to do something with the next sock project that injects a little bit more interest. And when I was on Twitter last night, I was looking at Louise Tilbrook's feed. I will just confirm. She is Louise Tilbrook 1 on Twitter. And she posted a photograph of a simple tube, and she said she was about to put in an afterthought heel. And I thought perhaps that would be enough. Perhaps that's what I need to do to make the next sock project more interesting. I know what an afterthought heel is, but I've steered away from it. I think, although I've enjoyed knitting socks, I've stayed very much within my comfort zone, which I think I'm probably guilty of doing in many areas of life. And I've thought, oh, I know what I'm doing. If I knit a pair of socks, fine. I do it like that, and they turn out successfully. If I suddenly start shaking it up, I might end up with a complete mess. But ultimately, in the overall scheme of things, so what? I can just rip it all out if I need to. I mean, it's a bit, especially when you've done lots of small stitches, you know, small needles, thin yarn. It's not particularly tempting to have to pull it all out and start again. But in the end, that's all that will happen. It's not like with cooking when you've used your ingredients, and if it's inedible, too bad, you've wasted it. Or in my case, give it to the hens. So I think an afterthought heel will possibly be the next new frontier that I cross with socks. But I think I'm also going to look for something a little bit different actually in the pattern as well. Just something that gives me a little bit more interest. And I was responding to somebody else's tweet last night. I'm the Ord Knitter on Twitter. And somebody was talking about, they mentioned learning and new techniques. And I've long been aware that setting my brain to new things is one of the things I really enjoy about Twitter. I have a bit of a, and Twitter, that too actually, but knitting, I have a bit of a restless brain. I like to have something to chew on. And when a project, or anything really, becomes too predictable, it just becomes boring. So I'm not going to be doing these socks for a few weeks for reasons I'll discuss, but when I do, yes, I think definitely time to quote that thing I mentioned quite a while ago, put on my big knitter's pants and look an afterthought heel in the eye. And the reason that I was thinking about new techniques and being brave and in the combination of enjoying doing something new while at the same time being a bit huh, about it, and sort of, was it Erica de Jong said, feel the fear and do it anyway, is because this, I hadn't paid attention to the construction of the shrug that I'm making. Looking at it, I just assumed it was knitted in one piece from cuff to cuff, and there is scope to do that. But the actual pattern instructions are that you start at a cuff, you knit up the arm, then you do that in the round, and then once you get it fitting snugly into the armpit, you switch to knitting flat. Now, the instructions, they don't make that particularly clear to somebody who is maybe unfamiliar with this type of thing, and I was really thrown. I was looking on Ravelry, I was scratching my head, I just couldn't work it out. And then, as is so often the case with knitting, the penny just dropped. I can't tell you how many Ravelry posts I've started writing because I just can't get the sense of what I need to do. And as I'm putting the problem into my own words and including what the pattern has said, I get that oh moment. And that's what happened, I'm pleased to say. So you carry on knitting flat from the armpit to the middle of the back, and you measure and so on and so forth. And then you do exactly the same again. So you end up with two pieces, each of which is a sleeve and half a back. And then you seam down the middle of the back. And that's the point at which my heart sank. If you listened to last week's pod, you will have heard my interview with Alison, and she starts off saying, I didn't read this through before I started. And generally, I don't think we do. I look at what yarn weight is required. I look at what equipment is required. And if I see the words crochet hook at the moment, I scuttle off in the other direction. Just for the time being, I will look crochet in the eye later on, but not just now. But I don't tend to literally read through rows and rows and rows of minute instructions. So I hadn't spotted that this was how you constructed it. And I've mentioned before that I'm not always the neatest person when it comes to really fine elements in anything really, but knitting included. And I thought, oh, I can see that I could make a real hash of this, and you could have an essentially perfectly well knitted piece that's got a very ugly seam right down the middle of the back. Especially after the kind of Horlicks I made of one of the underarms of the little raglan sleeve jumper that I was talking about a few episodes ago. And I, on the show notes, I posted two photographs. One was the underarm that I had grafted, and the other was the underarm that I had Kitchenered. And the Kitchener one, it looked shocking. It was like a lumpy scar. And that is one of the options that the pattern had given you. But after that, I thought, nah, I'm not doing that again. It just came out looking too ugly. I also had a hole at each end. A gap, not a hole in the sense of a missed stitch, just a gap. But actually, that wouldn't be the case on this because of the construction. You're not at the point where sort of two or three angles meet. It's a simple straight along seam between two pieces, but I still wasn't confident. The other option was a three needle bind off, and I have heard of it, but I thought, oh, I don't know how to do that. I'll make a mess of that. So I then considered why I shouldn't just knit the thing in one piece, which is what I had originally thought it was. And I couldn't really see why I shouldn't in any really big sense. What I would have had to have been very careful of is that as I had increased up the sleeve towards the shoulder, I would have to be very careful that I correspondingly decreased in exactly the same places. And that is easier said than done. It's amazing how easy it is to just pull your knitting two or three rows further back or a little bit forwards and think you're in the right place. Also, there's lace on the cuff, and the lace I would have basically been doing it upside down, but actually with that sort of lace pattern, I don't think that would have been obvious at all. It's not like a very obvious pattern, like a flower that has, you know, petals at the top and leaves at the base. It's not like that. So I felt that it could be done as long as I took care on the sleeve. So I thought, I'm going to ask the people who know better than me. And I went to Ravelry And I asked, and my basic question really was, is there a big technical consideration that I'm missing? And one person really hit the nail on the head, and she looked at it and said, well, I don't see why not. The main thing is that the lace looks like it would be exactly the same either way up. So really, no, don't see any reason why you couldn't do it, which is exactly what I thought. So I was thinking, fine, okay, that's what I do. Well, I thought it was what I would do, but I was also playing chicken with myself. I know we all play yarn chicken sometimes, but I don't know if you do this with a project where you think, well, I'll just get to the point where I have to make a decision and I'll see how I feel then. I'm not going to commit myself just now. But then I watched a video. It was a Planet Pearl video. I'll put the link in the show notes. And it was the three needle bind off. And actually I thought, oh, that looks quite interesting. It made me think of, Kitchener. Sorry, I'm being dense. It was similar to Kitchener, but with three knitting needles as opposed to a tapestry needle. So I thought that was interesting, and actually once I'd watched that I was quite tempted, because I felt perhaps I would make less of a mess of that, for reasons I actually find quite difficult to make sound rational. So now I've actually decided that is what I'm going to do. And the problem I've had just now is I've got to the point where I'm across the back, and now I need to start at the other cuff and do the lace, and I just need a bit of peace and quiet for that. That's not something you can do in front of the TV. Well, not when you really want to watch something, and not when it's Outlander and part of it's in subtitles because they're in France. So I'm just waiting now for the right opportunity. I'm not doing the school run this afternoon. My son does have swimming, but again, I'm really not sure that at the swimming pool is the time to be doing lace knitting when I'm not a terribly confident lace knitter. So I'll probably just end up casting on this evening for that. Also, while I was asking questions, I looked at the notes for the pattern or the comments that other people have made, and I find that can be a really useful feature of a pattern. And somebody had said that she found that it was taking a long time to do. She'd knitted it a few months earlier, and she said, my recollection and my pattern notes, my own notes I've made as I've gone along, have shown me it took ages. And I'm surprised to hear that, because I really didn't feel that. I mean, I started it and then I had a break. I started it when I ran out of sock yarn. So I sort of knitted it for 2 or 3 days and made quite a lot of progress. Then I was very good and I put it away when the sock yarn arrived, even though I was loving knitting it. And so I've finished these socks and I've picked it back up again. But it feels to me, I mean, certainly once you're just knitting stocking stitch flat for the back, it just flies along, and you can do that. You're really just, you know, half a brain on what you're doing. The important thing is obviously the measuring. And I was measuring and I was being really, really careful. I needed the flat bit to be 9.5 inches. And I was being very careful and I kept measuring, and all of a sudden somehow I'd got to 10. However, I also read, somebody said that they found, because of the pattern actually suggested bamboo, I've used a cotton, but some of the same considerations apply. Somebody had said that the lack of give in the pattern meant that she wished she'd made it a couple of inches wider than it was meant to be. Now, I'd already factored in an extra inch for each side, because I hate that. The prospect of it pulling would be horrible. So all I've really ended up doing is, instead of having an extra 2 inches across the back, I've got an extra 3. And considering that it's meant to be a loose item to go over a flowing dress, I really don't think that's going to be an issue. I will link to my Ravelry project page for this project in the show notes, but when I went to look at a detail of the pattern last night, it's gone offline. And I don't know what has driven that. And I went to look up a different pattern this morning, completely unrelated, completely different designer, completely different type of thing, and that has gone offline as well. So I don't know if Ravelry is having a funny moment, or if it's just that individuals have just chosen to take their patterns offline for whatever reason. So obviously that wasn't good news. However, because I needed to have the pattern portable, I had already made a note of the lace sections and the increases, so I can actually do a second duplicate bit. But that would have been a bit upsetting if I'd worked literally online from the pattern and went to do the other half and suddenly discovered it wasn't there. So I don't know what's driven that. But that was a bit of a shame. The reason I was looking for different patterns this morning is that I realised again there's a birthday next week. So that's next Wednesday, and here we are, and it's Tuesday. So I've done it again. This is a pattern that needs to, a present that needs to be sent. So what I'm going to do is knit another cloth. It's for a relation of mine, and I think it's the kind of thing she would like. Her mother was an incredibly good knitter, and I will, sometime soon, I will interview my mum about this person's own mother, because she was my mother's aunt. I won't bore you with the family relationships, but she was a phenomenally good knitter, and she liked making toys, and she made some wonderful things for my mother when she was a child, and even when she was older. And my mum often refers to them, and she often says that my Auntie Margaret would have been delighted that I enjoy knitting so much, although because I lose patience with things that are really fiddly, I don't particularly enjoy making toys because of all the making up and the knitting lots of little tiny things and then embroidering eyes on afterwards and all that sort of thing. That's not really what I enjoy knitting. And when I look back to one or two projects now that I knitted early on, including a tea cosy that I posted a picture of on Instagram a couple of days ago, I absolutely cringe at how ham-fisted I was with the making up. Quite simply, it was an unknown unknown, to quote Donald Rumsfeld, because I didn't know that I didn't know how to do it. When I did a tortoise, for instance, and you made the hexagons for its back, and then you grafted them together, but I didn't realise it just, the pattern gave some basic instructions such as, you know, join hexagons, and I literally sewed them together with sewing thread, and they're awful, but my children really like him, and every time I see him now, I just take one look at the back, and it's just sort of think, oh, but never mind, you know, that was 3 or 4 years ago, and I've come a long way since then, and that's how I have to look at it. And the tea cosy that I made, for some reason I gave it to my mother-in-law, who actually was really pleased with it, bless her heart, and said, oh, you've made me want to take up knitting again and everything. But I think, oh, what did she do to deserve such a daft present? Really, there was no reason to give it to her. It wasn't her birthday or anything. I think they don't live very near to us, and my husband was going off for a few days to see her, and I thought, oh, take this, you know. But really, what, the poor woman, I don't know what she did to deserve it. And probably she wants to take up knitting again so that she can make something to replace it. I hope she's got it very firmly at the back of a cupboard. Anyway, so I think I'm going to make just a nice cloth to send to this relation, because they're easy and light to send, and I wanted to do one with her initial on. And there's one person in particular on Ravelry who's posted lots of patterns of cloths with initials on, and I've used quite a few of them, and again today the one I wanted has been taken down, so I'll have to hunt around. Ravelry's always my first port of call, but I will look further and wider if I need to, and I think I will just have to look further and wider now to see if I can find a different cloth. And I'd like to do her initial, but there are one or two pretty floral ones, so I may end up doing those, but I'm not going to be using blue and white Aran yarn. I used the blue and white for my friend's present recently because I'd got her a blue and white cup, and there was an obvious correlation, but it was too chunky really for that, so I'll decide what I'm doing and then see if I've got something in my stash that will fit the bill. So I said that when I had finished the socks, even though I still had the shrug to complete, which, fingers crossed, I now think is not going to be terribly long-winded, I'd like to think I'd have it finished in a week or so, I said I would allow myself to look at camisole patterns, because I've been asked away for a few days in August, and I would just like to have something new to wear. Why not? When my uncle invited me to their place in Devon in February, we made the plans in sort of November time, my first thought was, oh, wonderful, weekend in a country farmhouse, I can make some fantastic jumpers and cowls and this and that. And of course, I didn't at all end up doing any of it, because other stuff just reared its head, and I don't know quite when I thought I was going to do it, considering that I was Christmas in the middle of that. But I would like to make something, and I was saying last week, I think I was just assuming that most of these patterns would take a DK, because when I've looked at other patterns for tops, including wrap tops, which I quite like for reasons I'll come on to, they're always in DK. But most of the ones I've seen are certainly the ones that I like and that I would consider wearing for this weekend are in a 5-ply or a sports weight. The reason I'm looking for a particular style is I really love a halter neck top, but I'm reasonably large on top. Around an E cup, depending on which company's underwear I'm trying on. And you have to be careful with the style that you wear, because things can be very flat, very unflattering. They can just make you look enormous but shapeless, or they can really make the most of your shape. And no, like most of us, I don't particularly want to look huge and shapeless. That's not particularly tempting. And if I wear a halter neck, I tend not to wear a bra, and I just feel these particular relations, I just think, I think I'm going to play it safe. It's not the weekend to sort of loll around doing your best sort of Hollywood starlet bit. I think I'd just be more comfortable if I knew I was sort of respectable. So I've decided that although I would like to do myself a halter at some point, what I actually need, what's appropriate for this weekend, is a normal camisole with standard straps that go straight over your shoulder from front to back. But the other thing I need to be very aware of is the shaping, and I found two or three that I like. There's one that's particularly appealing to me because of the way that the shaping works actually over the swell of the bust. And like all of them that I found, it's a 5-ply. And I started looking around online. I looked in my normal ports of call for yarn, and I was coming up against 4-ply every time. Now, 4-ply, 5-ply, you're only talking about one strand of yarn, but over all the stitches and the shaping that you put into a whole project, that's going to start to make a difference to how far your stitches go and how the fitting works. So I looked further and wider for yarn, and I have found a few, and it seems that Debbie Bliss, I'm at a different computer to the one I was at last night when I was looking at these yarns originally, but the Debbie Bliss yarns were coming up again and again. I mean, clearly Debbie Bliss is a goddess in the knitting world. It just so happens that I haven't yet ever done one of her patterns or used her yarn. The Cash Merino comes up time and time again as very popular, but I don't get on with wool. And it may be that I wouldn't be so bad with alpaca. In fact, when I was a teenager, I had what I now realise was a phenomenal jumper. I got it for next to nothing in some sale somewhere. It was a Betty Jackson alpaca Fair Isle jumper. And it was wonderful. I loved it. I don't know where it is now, but God, I wish I'd kept that. But there you go, these things happen. It wasn't handmade, obviously, being Betty Jackson. It was a sort of mass-produced item. But I look back on it, I don't think at the time that I realised what I had. I wasn't a kid who had designer clothes by any means. I'd just everything had come together. I'd found something I happened to like at a price I was prepared to pay, and it turned out to be something a bit special. But I'm not prepared to risk making myself an item in something with wool in it, because I tend not to get on with normal wool, and I don't see why this should be any different. And there is, you know, wearing a jumper that goes over a shirt, and so your cuffs and your collar are what's against the skin, that's a very different matter from wearing a camisole, which is right against your skin, especially on a warm day when you may be slightly prickly anyway. So of course, being me, I'm looking for a cotton 5-ply, a cotton sports weight, and I found some beautiful colours, and there's one in particular which is a sort of green and white. It's not exactly striped, it's a bit strong. If you imagine, I don't know if you've come across zoodles, which is when you make noodles out of courgette. I have done this quite a few times myself. I did for a while, I tried the low carb, high fat diet. I'm not someone who yo-yos from diet to diet, but there's a lot about that diet that makes sense to me. But ultimately, I found it too hard to stick to, and eating a very high-fat diet is quite a risky strategy when you are not also managing to cut back the carbs as much as you would like. Anyway, I'm not going to get onto all of that. This isn't a dieting podcast. But when you've cut these zoodles, they're a wonderful mixture in the bowl of pale green and bits of white and the odd fleck of a darker green. And when I saw this yarn, it just, that's instantly what came to mind, or an apple coleslaw and that sort of thing. And I just loved it. And I find that a pale green and white is a, I find, a really lovely, fresh, summery colourway. So I'm quite tempted at that. And the price is immensely reasonable. I mean, excluding postage, which is variable, I should be able to get all the yarn that I need to make a camisole for a tenner, which is what I had hoped. But still, I thought maybe I was being a bit optimistic. But there are some lovely other colours as well, some solid colours, and I think probably what I'll do is I'll have a go with this camisole. I'll see how it, you know, I'll obviously very much be doing my best to make sure that the fitting round the bust fits me, because that's one of the points of doing these things yourself. And if I find that I do like it and I get on well with it, I think I'd be very tempted to get the yarn to make myself, well, I say another couple. There are other patterns I'd like to make too. It's difficult, isn't it? Do you make the jumper or the top or the scarf that you like in three different colourways, or do you try three or four different patterns that you wanted to try? It's a conundrum, you know, and I probably go one way sometimes and one way the other. But I can imagine that by the time I've actually had to tussle with the shaping over the bust and carried on until I'm happy that it's right, I probably will never want to see another camisole again, or at least not till next summer. So that's what I'm only halfway through the shrug. I've still got the cloth to knit, but I'm already looking forward to working out the shaping round the bust. There are so many lovely camisole patterns, and they've got that real variety depending on whether you prefer a round neck, which I very much don't. A round neck doesn't suit me in the slightest. I always go for a V-neck, and I often go for a deep-ish V-neck. So the thing I've really appreciated about all the camisole patterns so far, only on Ravelry, that's as far as I've looked, is there's a real variety depending on whether you want a round neck or a higher neck or a V-neck or a thin strap or a chunky strap or a proper halter neck, whether it crosses over on your back or whether it just goes round your neck, which is, they're lovely. And I've also seen a style that I like, where the front is a sort of cowl. I would want that to be quite deep myself, and I'm not feeling experimental for this. I need this to work. But also, I'm talking about wearing deep V-necks. I alluded earlier to wrap tops, and I've got a couple of patterns that I would like to try out for myself for this winter. Being having a large bust, I find a V-neck is flattering and it's easier to wear, and I love wrap tops because you can make them sit just as you need to. I think they might be too warm for the summer, especially if they're deep enough that in order to be socially acceptable, you really need to wear a camisole underneath. But, you know, in the spring and the autumn, when you want a little bit more clothing, but you're not needing to bundle up to the eyeballs, I think it would be great. So there's one pattern in particular that I've got my beady eye on that I would like to try. So we'll see what happens with that. And also with the camisoles, there's one that's got a kind of feather patterning on it, which I rather like the look of. And you knit, the pattern calls for you to knit in stripes, but I mean, that's just purely a personal design element. But doing that would allow me to, it's a good excuse to get a couple of colours of the other yarns, not this lovely green and white one, but the other ones that I've seen. I would have a good excuse if I was making something with stripes in it. So we'll see. It's there's lots to think about. I do believe I've come to the end for today. So thank you very much for listening. I'll put all the patterns and the videos and so on that I've referred to into my show notes, and I was hoping to include an interview with my husband about his socks, but he said I haven't even worn them yet. He was going to today, but it's that kind of heavy weather here. You don't feel necessarily warm sat still, but you don't really want to put a pair of socks on. So when he has worn them, I will have an interview with him, because he understands what he's dealing with when he has a pair of hand-knitted socks. So it might be quite interesting to hear the opinion of a knittee. So depending on the weather, I may have that for you next week. I'm not going to be going to my knitting group for 5 weeks now. It's on the 2nd and the 4th of the month rather than every other week. So this being a 5-Wednesday month, there wouldn't be any anyway. I won't bore you with the details, but we have an extra week effectively to skip out rather than every other. And on the next one, now I've got to be somewhere else and I can't make it. So by the time I finally turn up again, everybody should be on different projects. And I certainly should be as well. I should have a few completed things up my sleeve. My mother should be a bit further on with her clanger. And I might also have a chat to Sheila, because, or at least ask her, perhaps off the microphone, what the charity knitting is that she's doing, because she's been churning out industrial quantities of hats with ear flaps, and she's following a specific pattern, which again has some peculiarities in it. So I might ask her about that and then report back. So until next time, thank you very much for listening, and happy knitting.